BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us today. We've got a News Roundup broadcast today, along with a special guest we're going to have in the first segment here. You've got piles of stories and materials to bring to your attention here today, and we trust that you can stay with us through the course of the program today. I'm not quite sure how it's all going to fit in, but according to Karen, who's on the other side of the glass from me right now answering phone, she said, just pre-record the program and then air it back at 1.5 times the normal rate of speed. Well, I don't think we'll be doing that here today, but nonetheless, you're going to have to listen with both ears today, and we'll do our best that we can. I was absolutely delighted to receive a press release this week coming from Answers in Genesis, Ark Encounter, and Creation Museum. They are reopening, this is the Governor of Kentucky, Andy Beshear, announced that museums, outdoor attractions, and certain other facilities in the state can reopen on Monday, June 8th. We sat down yesterday by way of telephone. I conducted an interview with Ken Ham and want to share that with you here at this time. Well, joining me right now, we'd like to welcome Ken Ham. He's CEO and founder of Answers in Genesis, the highly acclaimed Creation Museum, and the world-renowned Ark Encounter. Ken, good to have you with us.
Hi, it's great to be with you again, Jim.
You know, Ken, I was just thrilled to receive your press release announcing the reopening of Ark Encounter and Creation Museum. You, like so many, had to close your doors due to the due to COVID-19, had to close the doors to the public there. But what a joy it was to see that press release. Maybe you can fill in some of the details for us.
Well, yes. In fact, by the time we reopen, it'll be about 3 months that we're closed, and 80% of our staff had to be put on furlough, and we've had to survive with a catastrophic loss of income, and it's been difficult. It's been a struggle, but you know what? God's people, who are our supporters, helped in a big way and enabled us to get through this, and we've been just waiting on the governor of Kentucky to allow facilities like us to open. You know, the scripture says to obey those in authority over you, and we've been doing that. And waiting for that time when we felt that, hey, he has said, you know, museums can open and theaters can open and shopping malls can open and churches can have in-person services. So, you know, all those things apply to us. And so we announced that we're opening on June 8th the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter. But, of course, a lot of work has gone into that. I mean, we have had staff working for weeks, actually, on a COVID-19 preparedness plan, because we were starting to look at all the standards being set across the nation and those in the state of Kentucky, and so we're pretty aware of what we believe was going to happen, and we knew that the governor of Kentucky also said that shopping malls and churches, theaters, restaurants can only operate at a third capacity for now. I'm sure that'll change in the future, so we had to do that as well. Well, you know, the Ark and the Creation Museum are massive facilities, mm-hmm. for a third capacity. You know, we could work through that okay. And we've done all sorts of planning in regard to social distancing and people having sanitizing solutions available for them. And all our staff will be wearing masks, and they all have to have their temperature checked for all the staff as they come in. We don't require masks because it's not required in Kentucky for people coming. It's recommended by the state, and so we give that state recommendation, but it's not required by the guests that are coming, but it is required for all of our staff. And so we've had to implement a lot of changes and a lot of procedures, and we're also actually implementing for the future, and until, you know, situation changes dramatically, an afternoon ticket for the Ark and Creation Museum, that if people buy a ticket, then with every ticket bought for 1:30 p.m. onwards, they get a voucher for a free meal at our restaurant or one of the places where we have meals here, called the Creation Museum. And the reason for that is to try to divide the crowd into the morning crowd and the afternoon crowd to make social distancing easy. And so, you know, we put out a 45-page document available on our website, actually, at answersingenesis.org, our COVID-19 preparedness plan. I think it's one of the best I've seen from any organization across the nation, and I hope it sets a standard for people.
Well, yeah, indeed. It's very comprehensive. You cover so many different areas because health is and the safety of those coming to visit Ark Encounter Creation Museum are well, you know, at your heart, and that is well conveyed through the precautions that you're taking.
Well, you know, we want our places to be the safest, the cleanest places that they could possibly be. And our staff are striving for that. We've got a whole training program. We're starting to bring back staff right now. And they have some great leaders that are training them in all of these procedures. And we want to look after all the people that come. But here's the interesting thing. You know, many of the procedures, not all of them, of course, but many that we've actually detailed here, we already did anyway. And people would compliment us on how clean our places were, how clean the restrooms were. We've always used the top cleaning solutions that kill, you know, 99.whatever% of viruses. And so all the solutions that were recommended by the CDC and so on, we looked and thought, oh, we already use all those because our housekeeping staff want our places to be the safest and cleanest possible. And so now they'll be even cleaning more regularly and looking after people. And people can come and relax. We want them to have the best experience they can. Mm-hmm. Our staff are going to do all the work. They just have to come. They might have to be a little patient. For instance, in the parking lot, our shuttles aren't going to take as many people, and there'll be, you know, times for cleaning and so on, and that'll help the people flow. And so I'm sure people will understand. All of us have to, you know, change the way we do some things.
Right.
But we are going to work hard to make this the best experience possible for people.
Okay, it opens June 8th. That's both the Ark Encounter and Creation Museum. Ken, is advanced ticket purchasing required?
Advanced ticket purchasing is not required, but we would highly recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
It would certainly make life easier for everyone. If they go online at arkencounter.com and they can, you know, get their Ark and Museum tickets there, you know, the combo ones, from right when we're having this particular interview, within a couple of days, we'll have up our afternoon ticket that'll include a free meal.
Great.
For people, because we're encouraging, you know, maybe families to come afternoon. Those that'll come in the morning, but if people split their day, those that can come in the morning do so, those that can come in the afternoon, we have a special incentive for you. We're going to have special programs going on in our Answer Center as well for people. So, you know, we're trying to do the best we can to make everyone's experience the best possible it could be. So we're trying to even out the flow because, you know, a lot of times what happens is people come all at once.
Right.
So we're trying to stop that happening so that we can do all the social distancing, and they have a phenomenal experience.
ArkEncounter.org. You can go to ArkEncounter.org and get information there on tickets. And again, folks, the reopening taking place on Monday, June 8th. Can I understand that that those who are visiting now the museum are going to be met with a brand new experience in your Stargazer Planetarium?
Well, yes, the Stargazer Planetarium, we totally rebuilt the planetarium, brand new seats, brand new everything, and has this laser projection system that is so bright. And we set up the planetarium, it feels like you're in a spacecraft, actually. And it is absolutely incredible.
Mm.
And so that's a brand new experience there. Also, in July, we'll be opening our Life, you know, Before Birth, Fearfully and Wonderfully Made, pro-life, anti-abortion exhibit. At the Ark Encounter, too, in July, we're opening a brand new experience. It's a virtual reality experience. An outside businessman has paid for this to go in, and it's like the planetarium. There's an upcharge, but it's actually the same sort of seats you have at Universal Studios that move. It's sort of the closest feeling like having a ride. And you put on these glasses, and you get into a spacecraft, and we take you back in time. It's a virtual reality experience, like putting on Oculus glasses, only it's even a higher-end experience than that. So we've got all sorts of things. New animals at the zoo. We've got our sloths in there at the Ark Encounter Zoo and also be doing special animal programs. So there's a lot of things that we've been doing and preparing for, and people can come and relax, and lots of hotels in the area that are desperate for them to come.
Right.
right. and use them.
June 8th, again, folks, is a day that Ark Encounter and Creation Museum reopen. They've taken very robust procedures here in their preparedness plan. You can see it at answersingenesis.org. And as we mentioned here, a brand new experience in the planetarium. They've got a new high-tech exhibit on so-called ape men. July, they have the new high-tech virtual reality experience called Truth Traveler. Doors open June 8th to all of these venues here once again. And Ken, something else we want to mention, that you have had a special promotion going where kids 10 and under are free.
Yes, we started that beginning of this year. We said 2020, kids 10 and under free. And even though we've had 3 months closing, we're still doing that. Kids 10 and under are free at the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter for 2020.
Wow. And incidentally, just before the shutdown was required, Ark Encounter, Creation Museum, you just won first and second place finishes in the, USA Today's 100 Best Readers' Choice Awards as Best Religious Museums in the United States?
Yes, and that was a national poll, and there was a lot of religious museums that they could have voted for, but the Ark Encounter and the Creation Museum were number one and number two. So the two top religious, they put us in the religious museum category, two top religious museums in the nation. That's what we were voted. And that happened just before we shut down, unfortunately. So, yes, we need to remind people about that. The two top religious museums in a national poll, the Ark Encounter and the Creation Museum.
Wow, tremendous.
Come and visit this year, and we're reopening on June 8th.
June 8th, and folks, the websites are, if you want to see that COVID plan, answersingenesis.org. You can visit arkencounter.org, creationmuseum.com to get all the details. And Ken, I just want to mention also as well, as you mentioned, a high amount of revenue loss that happened during this time due to not having guests and visitors coming in through these events. And we just also encourage our listeners to be in support financially of Answers in Genesis ministry, as there is nobody doing what you're doing across this land, and I'd say around the world, and it's critically important that this ministry continue to thrive here based in Kentucky.
Well, thanks, Jim, and as you can understand, when you're restarting something like this, and we won't have the funds for the staff until after we start, and yet we need to bring on the staff early, and we can't bring on too many at once, and you can imagine the struggles we're going to have, and so we just value people's prayers and support for that.
Great. Well, God bless you, Ken. Thank you for joining us here today.
Hey, thank you.
Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis, Ark Encounter, Creation Museum. We spoke with him yesterday after that announcement came out, and very excited to pass that on to you today. Again, June 8th is the day, and we have counted it a privilege here through VCY America to take several bus trips to Ark Encounter and Creation Museum through recent years. So many have gone on these trips and have benefited greatly by them, and so we would encourage you to go to their websites, check out the information as well. Answersingenesis.org, that's your gateway website. Well, friends, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we have got lots of news and information we want to share with you, a lot of news pertaining to COVID-19 and issues that are going on across this nation. Back in a minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, where do fingerprints come from?
Chris' fingerprints are unique for each individual, produced by nuances in the genetic code. Now, koala bears also have fingerprints which look surprisingly like human fingerprints, even though in evolution we're not closely related to the koala bears. These are much more human-like than are those pseudo-fingerprints of chimpanzees, which evolutionists think are our closest relative. And how can that be? Evolutionists conclude koala bears and humans evolved their fingerprints independently, a convenient non-answer to evidence which fits creation and not evolution. Chris, the evidence doesn't fit evolution because evolution isn't true. We were created in God's image, separate from the animals, just like it says back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America as we go into our news roundup portion now of the broadcast today. And we're going to take some time to get through this because important stories. First of all, there was a press briefing held earlier today at the White House. President Trump deemed that churches and houses of worship are essential, and that in America, he said, we need more prayer, not less. He also announced that the Center for Disease Control and Prevention will issue new guidelines that will classify houses of worship as being essential. More to come on that. Some of the stories we'll be sharing with you today will be addressing that very issue. WesternJournal.com telling us last month, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo accused China of censoring its own experts and destroying samples of the virus as a means to cover up how dangerous the pandemic was, saying that the Chinese Communist Party still has not shared the virus samples from inside of China with the outside world, making it impossible to track the disease's evolution, he told reporters. That was April 22nd. Well, now a Chinese official claimed there were good reasons for destroying the samples of virus. Hear that? There was good reason for destroying it. We're talking about the Chinese National Health Commission's Science and Education Department said samples of the virus were destroyed at unauthorized labs to prevent the risk to laboratory biological safety and to prevent secondary disasters caused by unidentified pathogens. Based on a comprehensive research and expert opinion, we decided to temporarily manage the pathogen causing the pneumonia as class 2 imposed biosafety requirements on sample collection, etc., experimental activities, as well as destroying the samples. He claimed China's only motive was to act in accordance with its standard practice for handling dangerous virus samples, saying labs would do not meet safety requirements should not have the samples. Liu said that China might share the samples of the virus in an orderly manner with the framework of the World Health Organization. Not having these folks have been said to put us back a long, long time in dealing with this issue. WND.com reporting China imposing another lockdown. More than 100 million citizens as Beijing tries to avoid another outbreak, while the country's top immunologist issues a dire warning. A lack of herd immunity could be a mass killer in the communist nation. Cities in the Chinese province of Jilin cut off transportation and ordered quarantines on thousands of people. Officials worried a cluster of 34 infections could balloon, according to Bloomberg. We're going to the Washington Examiner. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has updated its guidelines to stress, listen to this, folks, that the coronavirus does not spread easily on contaminated surfaces. The CDC guidelines now say that the virus spreads easily between people, but not from touching surfaces or objects, from animals to people or from people to animals. The change comes after a German virologist leading the response to the country's worst hit areas said in April that he hadn't found evidence that the virus could live on surfaces. Let's go to WND.com. March 28, 2020, physicians worldwide were striking success using hydroxychloroquine to treat COVID-19. Rick Bright, PhD, is an FDA bureaucrat, vaccine researcher, and was appointed by President Obama to head BARDA. That's the Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority, a sub-agency of the FDA. In an appalling admission, Bright said, specifically and contrary to misguided directives, I limited the broad use of chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine promoted by the administration as a panacea, but which clearly lacks scientific merit. Meanwhile, he promoted both other drugs, remdesivir, a never-approved experimental antiviral in development by Gilead Sciences. His decree limits the use of chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine from the national strategic stockpile in COVID-19 to hospitalized patients everywhere. Keep in mind this, Rick Bright, he's not a physician. Knowingly and unilaterally countermanded Secretary of Health and Human Services Alex Azar. And the question they ask at WND.com, how does one non-physician bureaucrat have such power with impunity? How can one person brag about blocking physicians' attempt to reduce hospitalization and deaths during a national emergency? Democratic House Speaker Nancy Pelosi mocked President Trump's weight during an interview on Monday night, saying that President Trump should not take hydroxychloroquine prescribed by his doctor because he's morbidly obese. Listen to what she had to say on this very issue, Nancy Pelosi.
What's your reaction to the president saying that he's now taking hydroxychloroquine? Are you concerned?
Well, first, let me say how happy I am about your new baby, how lovely, Wyatt, how perfectly named. We all know why that is, and congratulations. And as you are a father, you see how important it is to keep the world safe for the children, for the children. As far as the president is concerned, he's our president, and I would rather he not be taking something that has not been approved by the scientist, especially in his age group and in his, shall we say, weight group, what is morbidly obese, they say. So I think that it's not a good idea.
And that was Nancy Pelosi. By the way, he does not meet those requirements that of morbidly obese that Nancy Pelosi laid down there. Meanwhile, from Western Journal, the Department of Veterans Affairs Secretary Robert Wilkie pushed back yesterday against critics of the VA's use of the anti-malarial drug hydroxychloroquine to treat COVID-19 patients. He said, "I'll echo what the president said the other day. I think it's more aimed at President Trump than it's against the science, because as we speak, Dr. Fauci and his institute are conducting a very detailed clinical trials if this is, and I would also underline the fact that it's the 128th most used drug in this country," Wilkie said. He said Trump's use of the drug came after serious review by physicians. And then went on to say, "We're not going to take risk with the life of the president of the United States." WND.com reporting the coronavirus death forecast model that apparently convinced President Trump and British Prime Minister Boris Johnson to shift to a policy featuring unprecedented lockdowns of the healthy could go down in history as the most devastating software mistake of all time in terms of economic cost and lives lost. That's according to two software company executives, David Richards, CEO of the British-American software firm WANdisco, and Konstantin Budnik, the company's vice president, referring to the Imperial College of London report, March 16, forecasting 2.2 million deaths in the United States and 500,000 in Britain from the coronavirus. However, just 10 days later, the lead author of the report, Neil Ferguson, told a drastically different story when he testified under oath to a British parliamentary committee. They found Ferguson's model to be totally unreliable. It wasn't the first time, though, for Ferguson. The Express of London noted earlier this month that his models in the fight against the swine flu a decade ago also way off. He had predicted 65,000 people in the UK would die, but only 457 succumbed to the disease. As WND reported March 26, Ferguson's coronavirus study was cited by the White House, Downing Street, and other governments in their decisions to implement the unprecedented social distancing measures. March 26, the day after Ferguson's testimony to a parliamentary committee, White House Coronavirus Task Force Coordinator Dr. Deborah Birx mentioned that the dramatic downgrade of his estimate. She said the predictions of models also don't match the reality on the ground in either China, South Korea, or in Italy. Washington Times reporting hundreds of doctors wrote a letter to President Trump this week asking him to end the coronavirus shutdown. The letter estimates about 150,000 Americans each month that the shutdown remains in place would have had new cancer detected. Millions more are missing dental exams that could discover problems linked to heart disease, while others are experiencing domestic violence like child abuse. Suicide hotline calls have increased 600%, the letter said. It also notes liquor stores have increased 300 to 600%, and cigarette sales have also gone up. There's a lot of controversy about the reimbursement checks, the unemployment checks, and now the Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin says employees who reject the offer to resume work are ineligible for unemployment, reports the Daily Wire. He said if you offer a person a job and that person does not take the job, then that person would not be allowed to get unemployment. The Treasury Secretary said that the companies receiving benefits from the Payroll Protection Program should notify unemployment offices if the employee refuses to work. Western Journal reporting airport screening for travelers who may have had the coronavirus. could begin as soon as this week, according to a new report. A report in the Wall Street Journal indicated that the TSA would be given a job of checking temperatures of air travelers in a program that would begin at a dozen airports. It would refer passengers with a temperature of 100.4 degrees Fahrenheit or higher to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The story also goes on to say that tripods can scan many people at once and handheld devices are likely to be used. That is a Trump administrative official telling Fox News. WND.com, Harvard Law School Emeritus Professor Alan Dershowitz claimed in an interview that the government has a constitutional right under the 10th Amendment to forcibly vaccinate a citizen to curb the spread of a contagious disease. Quote, let me put it very clearly, you have no constitutional right to endanger the public and spread the disease, even if you disagree. You have no right not to be vaccinated. You have no right not to wear a mask. You have no right to open up your business, he said. The interviewer was James Goodman, asking if the famed constitutional scholar was saying that if the government decides you have to be vaccinated, we'd have to be vaccinated. Absolutely, Dershowitz replied, and if you refuse to be vaccinated, the state has the power to literally take you to a doctor's office and plunge a needle into your arm. Goodman asked, where is that in the Constitution? Dershowitz responded, clarified that if a person is threatened with a deadly disease that is not contagious, he can refuse treatment, but you have no right to refuse to be vaccinated against a contagious disease, he said. Does the government have a right to forcibly vaccinate you? He said, public health, the police power of the Constitution gives the state the power to combat that, and there are cases in the United States Supreme Court. He added that there are cases after cases after cases in which the public health permits reasonable actions to prevent the spread of communicable diseases. Folks, understand where this is all going. Understand where this is going. You have no constitutional right to endanger the public and spread the disease, even if you disagree, he said. You have no right not to be vaccinated. You have no right not to wear a mask. You have no right to open up your business. Let's go on to the Daily Wire. Tuesday, San Diego County Supervisor Jim Desmond said that after digging into the data, he believes only six of the county's 194 identified deaths are pure coronavirus deaths, meaning they died from the virus, not merely with the virus. He said, we want to be safe and we can do that, but unfortunately, it's more about control than getting the economy going again and keeping people safe. Public health official Dr. Wilma Wooten suggested Wednesday during a press briefing that Desmond was being callous. Wooten said this is not just San Diego. This is how it is done throughout the entire nation in terms of identifying who has died of COVID-19. According to a recent report, the White House Coronavirus Task Force Dr. Deborah Birx believes coronavirus-coded deaths are inflated by some 25%. Western Journal reporting Colorado has updated its coronavirus death toll, saying that 272 fewer people than originally reported have died from COVID-19. Colorado is not the only state that has had to change its coronavirus death statistics. Pennsylvania Health Department officials had included in their count probable coronavirus deaths. Probable. So officials now have removed over 200 probable deaths from their official tally. Okay, we're going to, just seconds from the break. So we're going to take the break. I'm going to be using up the next segment as well with a number of stories. I've got much to share with you. A lot dealing with COVID-19, but folks, it just pours on one story after the other. What's taking place here? What a time to be alive. What a time. How important it is in such a time as this to be a light in this dark world and to be praying for our leaders here across this land. Back in 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
It's been estimated that 28% of Scripture was prophecy at the time it was written. With over 1,800 prophecies in Scripture, taking up over 8,300 verses, don't you think God put it there for a reason? Yet we find the church sound asleep, oblivious to the fact that the bridegroom is coming for the bride. In the book, Wake the Bride, author Jeff Kinley reminds us that Jesus wants his beautiful bride, the church, to be awake and ready for his return. This resource is a guide to the book of Revelation, written to arouse a sleeping church and motivate her toward personal purity as we await his coming. You'll read about the end times, Christ's return, the tribulation, the judgment seat of Christ, judgments on the earth, the Antichrist, the mark of 666, and so much more. Wake the Bride is available for a donation of $17 or more by calling VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. Just ask for Wake the Bride. That's 1-800-729-9829.
We got a Friday News Roundup going on here today, and a lot to share with you. Continued story here from Daily Wire. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio said there will be no swimming any of the city's beaches, warned residents they'd be taken right up out of the water if they go for a dip. He had some other things to say. Here's a clip where he was interviewed by Fox News. Mayor de Blasio.
All right, real quick before you go, Mr. Mayor, we know that the beaches will be open for Memorial Day. Is New York City going to be the last place in the country to open?
Yeah, we're not going to do that in New York City, Maria. And you know, you grew up not far from Coney Island. You know that our beaches get very crowded very quickly. We're not going to allow it. So what I said today is we're not opening on Memorial Day as we normally do. For folks in the local communities who walk on the beach, walk on the boardwalk, they can still do that. But no swimming, no lifeguards, no congregating. NYPD will be out there. Parks Department will be out there. If people are smart about it and listen to the rules, great. If not, we actually might have to put up fencing to keep people off the beach. I don't want to do it, but if I have to, I will. We are so far from being out of the woods here in New York City. We're still the epicenter. Until we're safe, no beaches open.
Okay, Mayor de Blasio. New York Health Department admits to undercounting nursing home deaths as the Cuomo scandal worsens. And the New York State Department of Health told the Daily News Caller, Daily Caller News, that is, Foundation, that until late April it was disclosing the deaths of coronavirus patients from nursing home facilities, regardless of whether the patient died in the nursing home or a hospital. But the department made a subtle change to its disclosure beginning around May 3rd and now only reports coronavirus deaths for long-term care patients that died while physically present at the facility. In other words, New York's nursing home and adult care facility coronavirus deaths tracker omits any individuals who contracted the virus while living at the care facility but then later died in the hospital. Fox News Channel meteorologist Janice Dean, known for her sunny disposition, fiercely criticizing the governor Cuomo over the past few weeks following these tragic deaths, said, "Can you imagine how much press the nursing tragedy here in New York City would be given if Governor Cuomo was a Republican?" Dean mused on Sunday, "It would be on every single channel and newspaper." And she said, "And yes, if he was a Republican, I'd be just as furious." Earlier this month, Dean said she was wrongly swayed by Cuomo's leadership theater, but is now calling out the governor for requiring nursing homes and other long-term care facilities to take in COVID-19 positive patients. And Cuomo only reversed policy on May 10th after thousands of deaths, including Dean's in-laws, saying, "There's no words to express how furious I am. My husband is still grieving about the loss of his parents to the virus. Both were in nursing-assisted living homes. I'm trying to respect his wishes to not scream every day about this, but make no mistake, we want answers, and there's no question their deaths were avoidable." From Syracuse.com, churches and other houses of worship will be among the last things to open in New York State, along with concert halls and stadiums. Religious institutions will be part of Phase 4 of Governor Cuomo's four-phase reopening plan. That's because they invite large gatherings, which are a big concern as health officials try to minimize the spread of COVID-19, now saying that the earliest churches could open would be June 26. President Trump says, "Open them now." By the way, Pamela Geller reporting here in the story that the New York City shootings are up nearly 200%. Shootings, burglaries, auto theft surging in public housing during the lockdown. Let's go to Baltimore. FoxNews.com, a Baltimore pastor tore up a cease and desist letter mid-sermon Wednesday night of this week after local officials threatened a $5,000 fine earlier in this week for holding in-person services. Maryland Governor Larry Hogan announced last Friday that houses of worship could reopen at 50% capacity, but left the timing up to local jurisdictions. Well, Pastor Stacy Shiflett, pastor of the 400-member Calvary Baptist Church in Dundalk, held a Wednesday night service, more than 100 congregants in the 600-capacity sanctuary. Calvary was in compliance with the governor's order, but in defiance of Baltimore County's Department of Health and Human Services order. Oh, Pastor Shiflett ripped up a cease and desist letter from local officials who threatened this $5,000 fine. I just want to air an excerpt here from the pastor.
So newsflash, Pharaoh doesn't get to dictate to God's people how they worship their God. God's the one that defines the parameters. God's the one that communicates his will and his plan for his church, not Egypt. And I'm telling you right now, with this cease and desist letter in my hand, the Bible says to the New Testament church, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. And the closer we get to Jesus coming back, the more church we ought to be having, not less church. Now that's God's parameters. So I'm tearing up this cease and desist order right here, and I'm telling you right now, we're going to do it God's way. We're going to do it God's way. God tells us how to worship him. Nobody else gets to do that.
Pastor Stacy Shiflett, pastor of the Calvary Baptist Church in Dundalk, that would be in Maryland. Newsmax.com. Yes, we also have the Justice Department chiming in, telling Governor Gavin Newsom in California to take steps to permit in-person religious gatherings in the state. Also, we have from Daily Wire, Fresno County Sheriff Margaret Mims of California said she is not enforcing Governor Newsom's lockdown order, noting that her team has their hands full trying to re-arrest criminals who are let out on $0 bail, a policy implemented in 2019. She says, we do not stop the public to find out what they're doing when they're sheltering in place. We don't ask those questions. We don't ask if they're essential. We've got our hands full trying to re-arrest people that are released due to $0 bail. Western Journal reporting May 12th, 28-year-old Daniel Orozco arrested for allegedly driving under the influence of drugs. He was also cited for driving his car on the wrong side of the highway, according to a Facebook post by the Salinas Police Department. The next day, he was released. Within 10 minutes of his release, within 10 minutes, folks, police say he allegedly forced a woman from her vehicle in the parking lot of a local medical center. The woman resisted the attack and wouldn't give him her keys, so Orozco started to strangle her 11-year-old child, according to police. Consequently, the woman surrendered her keys. He allegedly took off in the car. Thankfully, police were eventually able to stop the car and arrest the suspect once again. He was booked in county jail for carjacking, kidnapping, child endangerment, and assault with a deadly weapon, said the Salinas Police Department. Yeah, they've been having this zero tolerance, you know, this zero policy for bail-related issues. And 10 minutes of being released, it was right back at it. Western Journal reporting, believing that testing positive for the coronavirus might get them freed, inmates at the Los Angeles County Jail have been trying to infect one another, according to videos released by the sheriff, Alex Villanueva. One video released by the sheriff showed inmates sharing a container of water, while another showed a group of inmates all breathing into the same face covering. Across L.A. County, more than 4,500 inmates are in quarantine. About 2,000 of those were in jail when the videos were taken. 30 inmates in the jail modules where the two videos were recorded tested positive for the virus. Better watch out on those Zoom calls in your home. Watch out on those Zoom calls. This from WND.com. Sheila Perez Smith tells the Todd Starnes Show she was stunned when the police showed up at her home near Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Her 7-year-old son had just completed a Zoom class when she received an urgent email from her son's first grade teacher. Well, it just so happened that that little boy had recently been gifted a toy gun, and the child had placed his new favorite thing on the table next to the computer. Another parent had been very uncomfortable by the fact that that toy gun had been in view of the Zoom call, Mrs. Smith said. A few hours later, they received an email. Then there was a knock at the front door. It was the police. The parent said he essentially lectured us on child safety and the fact that our children are too young to interact with any guns and weapons. The officer said it did not matter that it was a toy gun and continued to lecture the couple. What really troubled me was the fact that someone made a claim, an accusation with zero facts, the mother said. It was completely bogus, and it left our kids really scared. Life's returning to normal, though, for the Smith family. They have opted out of any further Zoom calls. CNSNews.com reporting Harvard Law professor Elizabeth Barthollet, who caused a stir in April by calling for a near-total ban on homeschooling, doubled down in a recent interview, complaining that many homeschooling parents are extreme idealogues, committed to raising their children in an evangelical Christian belief system. This apparently is very dangerous, according to Bartlett, because society may not have the chance to teach them values important to the larger community, such as tolerance of other people's views and values. Christianity here, folks, being targeted. Did you hear that statement? I want to repeat it for you. She said, because society may not have the chance to teach them values important to the larger community, such as tolerance of other people's views and values. A Real Clear Opinion Research Survey of 2,122 registered voters shows that support for educational choice is strong. A significant portion of parents are more likely to pursue homeschooling opportunities after the lockdowns. Results showing that 40% of families are more likely to homeschool or virtual school after lockdowns. 64% support school choice. 69% support the Federal Education Freedom Scholarship proposal. And let's go to California, where we have Capital Resource Institute telling us a California PTA chapter has contracted with Planned Parenthood to teach kids sex ed in elementary school. Capital Research Institute discovered that a Sacramento Area Parent Teacher Association has contracted with Planned Parenthood to teach sexual education to elementary school students. The local PTA chapter hides their payments to Planned Parenthood by listing the classes called puberty talks under assemblies in their annual budget. These assemblies have taken place during the last two school years and are planned for the 2021 school year as well. By the way, do you carry an iPhone? LifeSiteNews.com has a story. Apple has laid the groundwork to support COVID-19 tracking applications on iPhones in the name of containing the coronavirus, despite concerns about user privacy and individual rights. On Wednesday, Apple and Google both released the first public version of their exposure notification API application programming interface. The APIs do not themselves become initiating contact tracing on somebody's phone, but rather enable future contact tracing apps to work when downloaded. Apple and Google's API allows public health agencies to define what constitutes potential exposure in terms of exposed time and distance, and they can tweak transmission risk and other factors according to their own standards. Apple insists that each user will have to make an explicit choice to turn on the technology, which can also be turned off by the user at any time, and that it does not collect location data from your device and does not share the identities of other users to each other, Google or Apple, but also stresses that data will only be given. Now, if they're not tracking this, listen to this, but they stress that it will only be given to public health authorities if their apps meet specific criteria around privacy, security, and data control. But concerns remain as just to how secure users' personal information will be in practice and what exactly will constitute users' consent. Liberty Counsel told us that the Eastern District of Wisconsin has issued a preliminary injunction on behalf of strip clubs in Wisconsin, saying that excluding them from the PPA and CARES Act violates the First Amendment and that the loss of the opportunity to engage in erotic dancing for even minimal periods of time constitutes irreparable harm under the First Amendment. And so Liberty Counsel says our Romanian churches in Illinois cannot preach a sermon, but they can certainly travel a little farther north to Wisconsin, visit the strip joint where the federal government is making sure that the employees are maintaining compensation during the pandemic. Unbelievable, folks. Unbelievable indeed. Oh, I've got more stories. If you want to comment, go ahead and give us a call here, 800-733-9829 for our final segment. Otherwise, I'll be sharing more stories with you. 800-733-9829. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brennan House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. In 1987, Arthur S. Miller wrote a book called The Secret Constitution and the Need for Constitutional Change. He said, quote, "A perverse system of thought control exists in the United States. The citizenry is indoctrinated by employment of the mass media and the system of public education. People are told what to think about. The old order is crumbling. Nationalism should be seen as a dangerous social disease. A new vision is required to plan and manage the future. a global vision that will transcend national boundaries and eliminate the poison of nationalistic solutions, end quote. Notice he's openly admitting mass media is being used, along with public education, to change people's thinking and to do away with the disease or poison of nationalism. And by nationalism, we mean national borders, sovereignty, our own currency, anti-globalism.
Friends, you just got to hear it. There's so many stories. I've got so many important things to share. I want to give you some time, too. But this from Newsweek, it was just astounding. A church in Mississippi that burned down, what authorities say was an arson attack, had previously defied the city's stay-at-home order, was suing officials over the lockdown measures. This is the First Pentecostal Church of Holly Springs on Highway 178, destroyed in a fire in the early hours on Wednesday. According to the station, investigators found evidence that the fire was intentionally set, including graffiti in the church parking lot that said this, quote, "Bet you stay home now, you hypocrites." Let's go to the callers today. Soldiers Grove, Wisconsin. Priscilla, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for all these different things that you're bringing to our attention. I wanted to say that Nancy Pelosi just turned 80 years old on March 27th, I believe, of this year, so it's kind of funny that she's talking about our president at his age and taking jabs at him. She's older than he is. Hmm.
Okay, thank you for sharing. Yeah, and she was criticizing his taking the hydroxychloroquine medication there. Thank you for that. Let's go to Lee in Stone Creek, Ohio. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim. You know, your comment about the lewd dancers reminded me of the story of Queen Vashti in the Book of Esther. She had enough morals to refuse to dance lewdly for King Ahasuerus and his buddies. And, you know, here we are as churches being told, you know, we really can't worship the way we want to worship, but, you know, you can do any lewd thing you want, and it's just fine.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just plain wrong.
Thank you, Lee, for your comments. Let's go to Kevin in South Dakota. You're on the air, Kevin.
Hi, Jim. Just thank you for your program. I just appreciate it immensely how you not only just talk about the things that are going on, but how you bring God's word into it and try to displace the fear. Mm-hmm. And so just grateful for your program. I guess my comment is, it's amazing in visiting with some people, born-again believers, and one particular, I've got a really good friend of mine, I said, you're looking at this all wrong. He gets pretty wound up with this. I said, you need to look at this on the victory side. Mm-hmm. And so with that, he said, what do you mean? I said, well, you got to remember who wins.
Yeah.
God has prophesied this, and it's amazing how quickly these things are falling into place. It's just dumbfounding how quickly that what the Bible spoke of and how it's coming to be in the near future. So that was my comment for, I appreciate your program. And just, like I said, we need to look at it that we know who wins. It doesn't do any good to get wound up and frustrated because all that does becomes another victim to Corona.
Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. Yeah, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind.
Yeah, fear does not stop death. It stops life.
Thanks for the call.
You betcha.
Let's go to Miami, Florida. Courtney, you're on the air.
God bless all you saints. I've enjoyed your program for the last 2 weeks, even more than ever before. And I want to say something to you saints. It's a beautiful time to be able to witness to people. And a man, and I give all the honor to God, had a man come up to me today as I was waiting on the bus, asked me, do I know Jesus? And I told him, I know him. I asked him, do he know him? He said, no. I gave him that word to say, the Lord, the last thing he heard me say was, Jesus loves you. And seeing so many others, and I just saying, I love Crosstalk, the information you give us. I even ordered some of the CDs yesterday of your program. And I just want to get off the phone now and just say, bless God, all you saints that are saved. Bless his holy name. God bless you now.
Amen. Thank you, Courtney. Appreciate your call. And you're right. It is a wonderful time to get out the word of God. If the goings-on doesn't tell us that time is drawing to a close as we know it, how important it is for such a time as this to get out the gospel, the good news that Jesus saves. And as a previous caller had mentioned, you know, the end of the chapter tells us in Scripture, God is in control and his plan is coming to pass. mass. And we simply need to be a good stewards. It's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. Let's be faithful with that which God has entrusted to us. We have his word, and certainly we can invest that in the hearts and lives of people. By the way, also Michigan, we have Gretchen Whitmer, governor there, allowing gay swingers club to operate. Barbershop, though, that barber loses a license, and Whitmer says she will not apologize for locking down Michigan. I'm not changing the way I run this state. We have the state of Maine seeking emergency injunction right now. Liberty Council involved with that. We've got New Jersey pastors planning to reopen against Governor Murphy's orders, saying that they do not trump the Constitution. Minnesota, Governor Tim Walz announced Wednesday that restaurants will be able to host up to 50 customers in outdoor seating, but churches will be limited to 10, no matter what the setting. We also have Liberty Council defending churches in Illinois that have been slapped with disorderly conduct. Be praying for these organizations like Liberty Council and Pacific Justice Institute and others. We've got Karen calling now from Central Point. Is that Oregon?
Yes, I just had two comments. One, myself and three of my friends went to the Ark Encounter in the Creation Museum in 2017, and I would highly recommend it to anyone. It was just, it far exceeded everything we expected. And that first glimpse of the Ark is breathtaking.
Yeah.
And also, as far as the comment that Pelosi made about President Trump's weight, I just don't like when they make derogatory comments about anyone's appearance. And my goodness, can you imagine the hubbub if somebody were to say something about Jerry Nadler's weight or Stacey Abrams? I mean, it's just not appropriate, you know. And that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, Karen. And
you.
We're going to pick one final caller up. This is Holly calling in from Wisconsin. You're on the air, Holly.
Hi, I just wanted to call and tell you thank you again. Your program's amazing, and I've called before, and I'm just so impressed with the brilliance and the strength that you have to tell the truth despite how difficult that is during times like this, because the truth is inconvenient and a lot of people don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
But I think one thing I do want to say, one of your other callers mentioned that there is a victorious thought that we need to have here. The villains are being unmasked before us, and if we're fighting on God's army, I really believe that we will be victorious,
yes,
and it'll be a great day to be seen.
You know,
so
that's
thank you so much.
You're welcome, Holly. That's what Jesus said. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And
yes,
we can certainly rest in that. Thank you for the call today.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye now. Our time has run its course here, folks. I wish I had another 30, 45 minutes with you here today. I've got that much more in stories to share, but certainly I trust our hearts are burdened, burdened to be that salt, to be that light in the society in which we are. It's no mistake that you're living during this time, folks. Let's be faithful stewards of that which God has entrusted to us to occupy till he comes. God bless you, folks. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.